In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." This was the Feast of the Tabernacles. It's a great time. It's like a, we have our festivals, all the towns, Narrows, Parisburg, Pembroke, Newport. We have our festivals over at Blacksburg, they have them. And we fill the street up with tents and food and all kinds of fun things to do. Well, this was a religious festival, but it was like that. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days, everybody in Jerusalem and the visitors had forsaken their houses and built booths or tents or tabernacles in the street and outside. For 7 days, the people had been celebrating the glorious release of his people from slavery and the life they had. It was just wonderful. And it was like a carnival. I don't mean that in an irreligious way. I don't mean Ferris wheels and all of that. But it was a joyful time. People were meeting old friends and people that they had not known before, seen for a long time, maybe only once a year, relatives that they had come with. It was a great time. It was a wonderful time to be together. And every day, finally then on the last day, which was the eighth day really, all 7 days of tabernacles had passed. And on the eighth day, they had this one final time. And during that time, the priest, the high priest, would gather a golden pitcher full of water from the pool of Siloam. And he would walk across the temple grounds with that water and would pour it out before the people. And the people would shout. And they would shout about, "Out of the well shall we draw water," pictures of living water. And they would rejoice in the water that they had and that they poured out before the Lord. Only thing was, it was a sad turn to that. Everybody went home thirsty. Nobody got a drink of it. It wasn't shared with anybody. The water was dipped out of the pool, carried across in front of them, and poured out on the ground in front of everybody. And everybody shouted and praised God for the water drawn out of the well of salvation. But they went home thirsty. I wonder how many people go to church today and go home thirsty. How many people go to church today and go home hungry? They don't have what it takes. They don't have what it takes to quench the thirst of a dying soul. When Sister Lila was living and here in the church, Lila Stevens, one of her favorite scriptures and one of mine was when Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And I have to tell you today, are you thirsty? There is an invitation here given to drink. That is the most wonderful invitation that anybody could have. If you happen to be a thirsty man in a dry and a weary land, and somebody invites you to come for a drink of cool water. Oh my goodness, reminds me of an old Western song, you remember it? Cool, clear water. Cool, clear water. Wouldn't that be the most wonderful invitation you could have? Palestine is relatively dry land. It was not a great, verdant place like Virginia is or eastern United States. When we say wilderness, we mean vines and trees and all kinds of things. When they say wilderness, you've got to realize they're talking about barren rocks and sand and burning sun and a cold night every night. It's a tough thing to go through with. But here, The man carries the water out and he dumps it out. And as he dumps the water out before the people can shout, there is a young fella, 33 years old. He's a carpenter from Nazareth. And he suddenly jumps up on something and throws his arms out. And to that whole crowd, he cries out, "If any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink." And he began to tell him about the water. It was the same message he had given to a woman earlier at a well in Samaria. A woman whose life was dry and dreary, who had had five husbands and was living with a man who wasn't heard. A woman who was shunned by the rest of the people and the women in the town, who had to come in the burning sun to get her water from the well in the middle of the day. Usually that was done early in the morning or late in the evening when it was cool. But this woman came in the middle of the day so she didn't have to meet all of the other people. And you know what? While she was there, a man came and sat down on the well curbing beside the well. It was one of those wells that sort of like used to be up at the Davis place up the river. You had a rope and a bucket and you dropped it in. And when it filled with water, you pulled it up and you got water. And this woman came and this man was sitting there. She never expected him to speak to her. She didn't have any idea he would even act like he noticed her. Because he was a Jew. He was obviously maybe a rabbi even. And she paid attention to what he looked like. But the thing about Jews was, they didn't let a man speak to a woman in the street at all. Any woman. Let alone a Samaritan woman. Now, the disciples had been dumbfounded already because he was walking through Samaria and not going around it. And so he overcame all of the racial and religious prejudice of the time, walked through Samaria, and sat down and said, "I really need to be here. I need to come through Samaria." And he sat down and spoke to the woman, and he asked, "Would you give me a drink of water?" And she said, "Well, you don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope. How are you going to get water out of this well?" He said, "If you only knew," oh my friend, isn't that true? So many of us. If you only knew who was talking to you, you would ask him for a drink of water. If you only knew who this was sitting here on the rail curving, on the well curving, how you would do it. My goodness, people, what a wonderful thing it was. He reached down into the well. Not the well of water that Jacob drilled, but he reached down into the well of the Holy Ghost that was inside of him. You notice the well is not being filled and the thirst is not being filled by rain falling down from heaven, but by water coming out of the inside of a human being. One of my favorite things to read about in the Old Testament is in the book of Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel had never seen the temple of God. He only had to hear about it from his elders. He was a captive in a foreign land. And Ezekiel was in touch with God. He was a priest. And he was in touch with God. And God spoke to Ezekiel in a message one day. And what did he see? He saw the temple and the temple mount in Jerusalem. And as he looked at that temple sitting yonder on Zion's hill, he noticed something happen. There was a wall around the city, as there were almost every city in that day and time. And under the threshold of that wall was a space, space enough for water to run. And as he looked, water began to run out from under the threshold of the temple of God. And he looked, and here come a man with a measuring rod in his hand, had a long rod that he could measure with. And he came up to the temple and the water's running out under the threshold, and he measured the water, and it measured so many cubits feet, 100 cubits or 1,000 cubits, I forgot. It measured in cubits what was there, and the measuring man led him all around, and they went to the other side, and guess what? Water was running out from under the threshold, but it was getting deeper, and he went around to the other side, and guess what? The water was running out, but it was getting deeper. And he run around to the north side. And guess what? The water was running out, but it was getting deeper. And as he went around from place to place, he noticed the water was ankle deep. And then he said, no, the water is knee deep. And then he kept going. He said, oh, no, the water is waist deep. And then after a while, he said, the water is too deep. The water has turned into a river, and the river is flowing out, and the river is flowing so great and so good that you have to swim to get in it. You can't wade across the river anymore. You can't just walk through the little bit of water up around your ankles anymore. The water is coming out at such a great power and force that you have to jump in the river and swim to stay alive. My brothers and sisters, we are informed by the Lord Jesus Christ that this water that we're talking about is the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something today. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I'll say it with Howard and Vestal and all the good ones. I wouldn't take nothing from a journey now. I got to make it to heaven somehow. Amen? Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Let me tell you something. There's more. There's more. Oh, you say there's more than just being a Christian? Yes. When I came to Jesus, little old 14-year-old boy, went up that aisle that day, and I cried. I didn't want to cry, but I did anyway. And I got up at that altar, and I didn't really know how to pray. I didn't know how to say what I had to say. But when I knelt at that altar and I knelt down, I asked God to save me and to redeem me. And you know what? He could have looked at all kinds of things in that church that were wrong. He could have looked at all kinds of things in that church that weren't what they could have been, or he maybe even should have been. But he didn't look at that. When I went up that aisle that day and knelt at that altar, my friend, God heard my prayer to save my poor lost soul, and he saved me. In spite of myself, in spite of what was going on around me, in spite of anything else that was going on in the world, when I asked him to save me, he saved me. And you know what? It was so good. It was wonderful. I couldn't believe it. And they didn't let me rest a minute. The next time we came to church, they put me right up in the pulpit. Right up in the pulpit, 14 years old. And Sister Effie was going to preach, and I was going to read the scripture for her. My goodness alive, I was trembling and afraid, and all of my buddies are sitting back there thinking, what in the world has happened to him? And I'm standing up there in front of the whole congregation, got that big old King James version of the Bible open, and reading the scriptures where there was a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. I had a lot of trouble reading the scripture that day because I was embarrassed about one word that appeared in there about 10 or 15 times, the animal that Jesus was riding on. You know, and I could hardly say that in front of a congregation when I was 14 years old. But I managed to get through it because every time it said that, I said donkey. That was the gospel according to Eddie. And you know what? I love Effie Gilmer for that to this day. Every time I said donkey, she said donkey. I saw a little hint of a smile at the corner of her mouth, and I knew she was on to me. And she read it the same way I did. It was wonderful, but let me tell you about it, folks. I came to that altar and I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it's been worth it every step of the way. But I was a weak Christian. I was a weak person. I sat on the front because they told me when I got saved, I had to come to the front and I couldn't stay in the back. I don't really understand which end of the church it mattered that I sat in, because he's up there singing, he's got up in the pulpit, he's got back to the door, he's got in the amen corner, and he's got all over the floor. I mean, we sang that pretty regular back then. And we were singing that, and I was weak. I always sat on the side of the church down toward Uncle Raymond's and Aunt Vere's. And Brother Hank, lucky to you, usually sat there with me and some other old men that was old enough to be my grandpa's. And I sat there, but Earl, I was so weak. I was so weak. Oh, I was saved. I was saved, and I knew I was. But I needed something else. I needed an infilling of the Holy Spirit. I needed it to run out from under the thresholds of the doors. I needed it to be like, And you notice he doesn't say a river, he says rivers, it's plural. Rivers of water is going to flow out of me. I needed that. I'd stand up, they'd make you testify back then, folks, whether you wanted to or not. They'd make you shout whether you wanted to or not, to tell you the truth. But they'd make you get up and testify whether you wanted to or not. And us poor kids, we didn't know what to say. So I can tell you our testimony after 60-some years of being a Christian. I can tell you exactly what our testimony was. You know what it was? Thank the Lord for being here tonight. What's done for me? Y'all pray for me. Amen. And we sat down. And we sat down. That was it. And every one of us had the same testimony. Every one of us had exactly the same testimony. Praise the Lord for being here. What's done for me? Y'all pray for me. Amen. And down we went. I had no strength. You say, you lacked for words? Yeah, I did. I lacked for words. I didn't have the words to say. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to say it. I didn't know how to project it. I didn't know what to do. And so I prayed. Because whatever I had tasted that day when I went up that aisle. And by the way, I wanted to get saved. I didn't want to die and go to hell. I did not. Desi, I went through that. I'd go home at night from church and pray that God wouldn't send Jesus to get us tonight and I wouldn't die tonight. Had two prayers. Don't let me die tonight and Jesus don't come tonight because I'm not ready. And I'd pray every night that would happen. I could have prayed and asked him to save me and he would have. That was all I would have had to have done, but I thought I had to go through something. So when I got saved, I knew I was saved. But how much I needed God's Spirit. I was so hungry. I was in the eighth grade. I fasted and prayed all the way through exams. My mama said, son, I'm proud of what you're doing, and I'm so proud you're saved, but you can't go take exams and go to school and fast and pray like that. You'll never make it. Bless mama's heart, she was wrong. I went through the whole thing, fasted and prayed, and sought the Lord and made straight A's. Praise God. And God was there to help us and bring us through it. But I was weak and I kept saying, God, I need more. God, I need your Spirit to come and be in my life. I need the activity of your Spirit in my life. And I prayed. And I prayed. All of that summer, I prayed. When I was in the corn, hoeing corn, when I was picking beans, we had a store then over in the Hollow. When I was working in the store, everywhere I went praying. Everywhere. I walked to church every night so I could pray on the way to church. If I didn't, I got to ride Nan Inez's little Jeep, and we got to come over the mountain that way. But I would walk around by the Celanese and pray all the way over here and be prayed through by the time I got here, by the way. And I would pray for the Spirit of God to come into my life. One Sunday afternoon, I climbed up in the horse barn. Any of you remember that big old horse barn? It used to be in front of the Celanese. They had horse shows down there. It was an exciting thing. They stored grain upstairs. And I got upstairs and I prayed one Sunday afternoon and I thought I might be going to die. I thought I was going to be paralyzed. I felt the Holy Spirit come down all over me, all through me, all in me. And I just wasn't sure what was going to happen, so I quit. I was afraid. But it was August of that year that I asked God to fill me with heaven's sweet Holy Ghost. You say you didn't have the Spirit before then? Sure I did. You can't be saved without the Spirit of God. But you can have an infilling of the Holy Spirit that can empower you to do the work of God. And my friend, in August of that year, that happened to me, and God's precious Holy Spirit came to abide within my heart and life. And I can tell you today, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides. And I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. I can tell you, my friend, He abides, and it's been worth it. And the Holy Spirit came and filled me. And you say, well, people can't be saved and then receive the Spirit. They did up at Samaria. When Philip went up and had a revival and the witch got burned up all of his books and all the people repented and came to God and trusted God. And when it was over, my friend, They said all these people were saved and baptized, including the witch. And you say, and what? And what? As none of them had received the Spirit yet. But they heard down in Jerusalem what was going on. And Peter and some of them got together and went up to Samaria. And when they laid their hands on them, then they received the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, I don't know. What about Cornelius? Well, what about him? He was praying and seeking God. And he prayed and sought God. And in the midst of his praying, God sent down an angel from heaven and spoke to him. And you know what? God's Spirit came down when Peter came up there and in that house. And he never even got to finish the sermon. While he was preaching a sermon, the Holy Spirit came down and baptized in a wonderful infilling all of those people in that household. And he said, how did they know they had the Holy Spirit? Because they spake in tongues. That's what it says, doesn't it? He said, how do we know? He said, because we heard them speak in tongues, even as we did in the beginning. And everywhere they went, and everywhere the Holy Spirit went, he said, do people have to speak in tongues to be saved? No. My friend, you're not saved by spiritual gift. You're saved by the grace of God. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. You're not saved, my friends, by spiritual gift. You're saved by the power and grace of God. The faith that God gives you and reaches out and kindles in your heart that faith. My friend, I don't know about you, but before I walked up that aisle that day and gave my heart to Jesus and surrendered to him, I want to tell you the Lord wouldn't leave me alone. Not at night when I slept, not in day where I went. I'd go over to watch the Parrishburg Red Devils try to whoop up on the Nares Green Wave, which they never could hardly do back in those days, by the way. And as that happened, I'd hoop and holler and yell and maybe get in a scuffle with somebody. But then as I walked down the street, this old voice would say, what if somebody happened to run out of the road and hit you while you was coming down this street? Because Daddy wouldn't come on the school ground to get me. I had to walk past the seven-day market down there to... I know it's not there anymore. I had to walk by the seven-day market and Daddy would wait on me. Then I would come down, but I'd pray all the way down the street. God, don't let nobody mug me. No muggings going on in Parrishburg back then. But I was scared to death that I would die and be lost, and I would pray on the way home that I would be saved. But you know what, my friend? That day I went forward and down that aisle, I want to tell you something happened. An old account was settled long ago. My name was at the top. There were many things below. But I went unto the keeper, and it settled long ago. And my friend, I can tell you, then the Holy Spirit came, and it was like a flood had been let go out of me. It was like that you just opened not just the threshold, but opened the whole thing, and the joy of the Lord just poured right out of me. I was, for you people, in just across the line in West Virginia, I was ordained on that lot that's right across from the Green Valley Road. We got some people going to go up the Green Valley Road in a little bit. But just across the road next to Jess Bradley's store was a big lot. There wasn't a house there then. We had a brand new tent, and I was 17 years old. And we set that up, and they ordained me in that tent in Peterstown and put me to the pulpit and told me to preach. I came to myself. I was outside the tent on the grounds preaching to the people outside the tent. I preached on the pulpit, I preached on the ground, I preached in the tent, I preached outside the tent. I preached everywhere, and it just kept pouring out. It just kept pouring out. And you know what it was? No more ever. No more ever. Poor Brother Lucky Dew would sit over there and hold his side like he had appendicitis and wait till the end of the service to testify. And you always wondered if he was or he wasn't. But I have to tell you, my friend, there wasn't no doubt about it in my mind when I went up there and stood up, and then I would stand up just to testify. It would pour out of me. I'd come to myself. I'd be down the aisle and across the pulpit and in all kinds of places that he'd save me. And I'm going to tell you, young people, old people, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, pray for the Spirit to come in your life. Yield yourself to the Spirit of God. And let the Spirit come and give you strength. Now, he's there. If you're saved, the Spirit's there. But my friend, go through the book of Acts, go through the epistles and read them. And you know what they're saying? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit over and over and over again. You need, I need, we all need. You say, how do you know we need it? Because he said, it's for you, for your children, for all that the Lord our God shall call, and as many that as are far off. My friend, I will pour out my Spirit in the latter days, says the Lord. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And on my, oh, God's way ahead of society, folks. You girls got the Holy Ghost the same day us boys did. The same time that came down on that 120 people were there. My friend, women got baptized in the Holy Ghost just the same as men did. Women got filled with the Spirit of God just the same as men did. Let me tell you something. They didn't need no act of Congress from Washington, D.C. to say it was all right. They didn't need anybody to say anything. Because you know what happened? Said they'll prophesy. And somebody said women shouldn't speak in church. Tell me something. How are they going to prophesy if they don't speak? Explain that to me. How you speak in church. My goodness, my friend, the Holy Spirit of God on men and on women, on boys and on girls, on every race, color, and creed in the world. It's for you, for your children, as many as the Lord our God shall call. My friend, open up your heart and let the sunshine of God's Spirit come in to live in your heart. Amen. Father God, we thank you this morning so much for your blessings. And Lord, I thank you that you've kept us through all these years and all this time. I thank you for the joy that salvation has brought down to us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come as he did on the day of Pentecost, as he did at the house of Cornelius, as he did in the city of Philippi, as he did in Ezekiel when he filled the house with the water of the Spirit, and ran under the door faces. Father, we pray your Holy Spirit, your holy power will bless your people this morning. And Lord, as we go through this day, may there be a great spirit of fellowship and love and affection among us, and draw us closer to you, and make us be the people you'd have us to be. For we humbly ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.